Thank you for the pause.
Ones put in, many of them, as little as $100 in percentage-wise. I assume, please, Mr. Buckley, I am not a fortune teller, nor do I know or care about your business. I do know from things that have been told to different ones and written to me. You see, one person involved is very involved with you. That is the organic grower, Carol. And many ones were really basing hope, dreams, the ability to expand and do God's work along with national work in a positive direction from what would flow back, which was promised to be into the multi-trillions of dollars. Well, I'm not going to accept this kind of nitpicking against the paper and Rick. I don't care what they say about me. It matters not one iota what they think about Hatan, God, Satan. It matters not at all. It is none of my business what they think or do not think about me. But I'm tired of my team being insulted. What had Mr. Buckley done up until Ron Jackson's came into the picture? Nobody had made anything. The certificates are valid, but I want to ask a question open. I'm not going to answer it. Why does one Tommy Buckley out of the state of Texas have access to these massive, massive certificates? Were they his? He didn't say they were his. He said the numbers matched. Well, I'm not going to speak of Green Light as an organization. I assume they know what they're doing. I don't care. What was presented to us was, if it is real, will you please speak of this in the paper? We did. We ran verbatim articles. This is my agreement to the best of my ability to offer to the public exactly what is brought to us. This very often requires, in fact, all the time it should require, that something in full, not out of context, be offered. And then you ones must make judgment on the actions and the work and discern the source. You have no right, none, to judge anyone. And you certainly have no right to speak out against anyone in ignorance. And by his own words, he only has read little tiny bits and pieces from this paper that he doesn't even subscribe to. You heap upon him. Well, guess what you would say on your earth as to what he can take and do with whatever he has. We have enough to do. Ron Jackson has enough to do. He certainly does not have to sit in there and take this kind of insulting abuse for something they're doing out there or not doing. Just because he knows these players, I don't care if he is reading them right off the front page of the Wall Street Journal. How in the world can that hurt Tommy Buckley? If nothing more than supplying a list of codes and the numbers match, how has that hurt Tommy Buckley, Treasury Gate, or anyone involved. And to suggest that anything is connected with anyone here in a negative way because someone stole a credit card, you don't even know, and neither does Tommy Buckley, unless he stole it, that it actually was stolen. Stop this. The assumption is it probably was stolen. And somebody here is working with the person who got the number. I don't care who it is. It could be Buckley. And I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's going to unfold because some stupidness took place. One of those calls was made from a residence in Tehachapi. Others were made from two separate payphones. Will it be from a discriminating member of our crew? Will it be from just one of you? You cannot even depend on that. It depends on who wants to get you, who knows how to run a cotton-picking computer. Two of the calls were made to a sex line. Now, isn't that nice? And yet, who cares? The facts are that calls were made from Tehachapi and friends and enemies gave themselves away. Not the least of which is to me supplying proof of what is known all along. I do not care. Why should you? But I will not tolerate the kind of insulting insinuations that are coming from someone who has done nothing that he can prove either. And how can you throw rocks at Mr. Jackson for refusing to give you the name of an undersecretary who came to visit when this man will not even give you the right names of the ones he's dealing with every day and going to Salt Lake to meet with? And why is he going to Salt Lake? And why is he confronting infamous members of the Mormon Church? When he is willing to divulge all of this in openness, then maybe Mr. Jackson will give him some more names. Well, what do you, big boy, have to do with it? My people have been insulted for simply being and offering information. But we're getting used to that, aren't we? You can accept the bombardment and you can put up with it. You witness the most blatant scene in a court of law this week. All of you were there. Most of you were there. I cannot, in behalf of my scribe, express to Ed and Marilyn the appreciation for having secured that piece of property over which Eckers are still up for criminal charges. They still want to imprison them. And that assistant district attorney got up and walked out while the court was in session.
Twice.
Thank you. And later on that afternoon, and I want this on the tape for everybody to hear, that same assistant district attorney made a personal call and was seen doing so to Mr. Jason Brent to make his report. Why would this be interesting? Because this same man, Oglesby is his name, When Scott Tipps asked for a dismissal, this man says, no way. When the Eckers pay Mrs. Stillman's legal fees, Mrs. Stillman, this is a district attorney government, if you will, of the people against the Eckers has nothing, nothing to do with Mrs. Stillman. Except guess what? Mrs. Stillman was the one approached by Jason Brent and represented by Jason Brent. Jason Brent wants the legal fees that she hasn't paid. It has nothing to do with criminal charges. This is extortion. And they always cover it, don't they? Walk out of the room so that you won't respond. They knew Mr. Quinlan would be on the bench that day, and they insulted him by putting this on the calendar, knowing damn good and well he could not hear a case because he had done the proper judicial thing from the beginning. He said, I cannot hear any case involving the Eckers. I have gotten to know them. Actually, he has only met them. But he won the election, and Jason Brent lost it and has forever since told everybody in the county of Kern that he would get the Eckers. They had cost him every election since. Ray Rennick. Ray Rennick has a good attorney now. There's hope at least for some fair hearing. And of course the pressure was, let's change the venue. And this man said, watch out what you're asking for, because you could get sent and this case be turned over to the redneck judicial system in Kern County. And that would be terrible. Now, do I expect Eckers or you to clean up the judicial system? I certainly do not. I do expect you to survive it long enough that something begins to happen in your nation where it begins to clean and devour and eat itself. And I want this written up in detail so that when the next election comes and Jason Brent runs, I want it published everywhere. And I don't care whether he calls Hatton Doris or crazy. This is unthinkable, and you all witnessed it. You all witnessed it. Does it mean because you witnessed it and they didn't care and all of this that they won't rule against the Eckers sometime? No. You also saw Judge Quinlan, and this man wanted into jail so bad he would not drop it until he got in. And that's what's wrong with your constitutionalists. What that man did in that courtroom is unthinkable. And he got exactly what he pushed and pushed and pushed until Quinlan had to put him in jail for 5 days for contempt of court. And all of you felt terrible about this. You had not sat there before the fact, nor did you hear what the judge said and what the man did. And this is what's wrong with your movement. For goodness sakes, that is a kind of representation that is made in a court of law by ones who give you a black eye. Does that mean that I hate that poor man? Of course not. But I think that all of you could visualize what that particular man would have looked like in nothing but a t-shirt. And that was the complaint. He was walking the streets, nothing but a t-shirt. And I believe that all of you who saw the man would understand that that's a bit obscene. Be careful about jumping to conclusions. He said the right things, it sounded like. Well, I demand to be able to be heard, and I demand and I want to read this, and when, no, you won't. You have been allowed cross-examination of a witness under oath sitting in the witness stand, for goodness sakes. The man never even acknowledged the man on the witness stand. Well, what do you expect? Why is a judge up there? To be fair and to bring order to a courtroom. And you would have been continued, you would have sat there all day and had to come back. Be very careful in your judgments. Look at a situation and always, always find out everything you can about it. This is why I'm very happy that ones go back to check into Ron Jackson's background. I am not incensed that that was done, but I want to tell you something. You're not going to find the top lawyer or the dean of Yale University on God's team, my friends. They're going to be members of the Skull and Bones. And when you have a brilliant mind that is emerging, it can go either way. And usually gets trapped. You think, once upon a time, I use the term Model D crew. And it stuck, and then it got misused, and I asked that it not be used, because you're not a motley crew. But this is what I mean. God's team has to come from everywhere, doesn't it? And it looks pretty motley, I guess. Because everything, I suppose, that doesn't look motley gets gobbled up by the other side in their grab for it all. No, we're just fine. We are just fine. I am very happy when ones like Russbacher and Jackson awaken to their job. But I still get pretty incensed when they are insulted for just being whatever it was they were. As if this kind of a tale is negative input against a man. I can't imagine anybody more worthy to be on my team after changing his mind than a used car salesman. He certainly will have no wool pulled over his eye. Girls laugh. That's an inside joke, and no, I won't forget it either. We're just fine. We are emerging. You are going to, on the 17th of August, move into the 8th year. And it's an important, important year. And you are right on schedule. And ones have to grow to the point where the blossom can open, or you're going to have a flower with lopsided petals. Is Ron Jackson always above board? No. Would you be? Well, maybe he doesn't want to call over here is why he hasn't called. Is that your business or mine? Has he lied to us? Doesn't matter. Well, is he who he says? Doesn't matter. If he wasn't, he is now. God has appointed him. And he will think very, very carefully before he denies that appointment. Can he do the things he thinks he can do? Yes, indeed. Or he would not be appointed. And do I intend to help him? Yes, I do, because you have been established in such a way that you can help. And then if there is never one cent seen from anywhere near the man, he will make the biggest contribution of anyone so far that has come to your attention. Gay, come share with us. Gay is a writer. And the reason that she's good is because she tells it like it is. She writes about life. She writes about experience. She writes like life was in a family that was close. Real cowboys. Dave Overton wrote that he had found a copy and gotten it of a National Geographic of November, I believe, 1976. Right? 75, 76. And he said, there is Arthur Ecker on the front cover. And I read the article and I wonder, I feel so sure that must be your family, EJ. Yes, it is. Arthur Ecker, Dad, was a most, most remarkable man. He became very, very close. I guess that's not a good way to put it. Robert Redford became totally in awe of this man. And all the way through the article, which will be Riding the Outlaw Trails. He became so in awe of Arthur Ecker that when Arthur died, this man flew in from the New York area to Provo, Utah, to charter his own plane and fly to this little bitsy town of Green River to do Arthur's funeral. That's honor. That's honor, you know. I would like to say just one little thing about what Robert said that day. He said, you know, we came out to that ranch and we're going to go for this ride. And all of us big shots are all spirited. And he said, I am reminded this very morning as I tried to come off of Provo Canyon. And I was slowed by traffic and I was pressing and I heard Arthur's voice in my head saying, what's your hurry, buddy? Where are you going so fast? And he said, it struck me as overwhelming. Well, I'm going to a funeral. Won't he wait? Won't he wait? Well, as they started to ride, everybody goes tearing across the prairie. You know, it's fresh and it's brisk. And everybody is all up. And Arthur says, what is your hurry? Where are you going so fast? If you just jog along here steady, at the end of the day, you'll still be jogging along here steady. And they were. They hadn't worn out their mounts before the first hour was up. And that's the kind of influence under which the Eckers grew up. And there's such great, great respect. And Gay writes a lot about her childhood and her brother and her mother and her father. We've often laughed in the evening when EJ and Doris would remember Hazel, the mother, and how much she would love just messing around in this. And I can only say, my God, don't you think she is? Don't undersell ever your heritage, good or bad, in your perception. It's what is. And if it's the lemon pitch, you make it into lemon pie. Gay, come share with us the Star Lady. This is so good for all of you who go to your astrologers and your fortune tellers and your psychics. It puts it where it is. And if you want to take this little microphone so she doesn't have to either stand up or hold that.
I think
we can try it.
Okay. This is Gay, Pleiades Travel. And someone came in of the friend of the circle and left word for her on a card. He wanted a ticket. Probably just Pleiades.
This is my very first public reading, and I want to tell you all I'm very honored to be able to have been invited to share with you today. The Star Lady. My sister called me right up here on this phone. She was excited. We talk every day on the long-distance telephone. A few husbands back of hers, one of them hollered, we didn't know there was any distance in our long calls. Can get expensive, you know. Anyhow, she tried everything, even married her marriage counselor. Now, there was a real mistake. Anyway, she called right up here on this phone, and she said she'd found the help we needed, the answer to our prayers, hope for tomorrow, all of them, actually, right up to the end of our days, a blueprint, she called it, astrologer. Now, that's too fancy a word for me, so I dubbed her Star Lady. Well, that was clear back in 82. 'Twasn't long before I fogged right off to see her, Star Lady, and she was right. Help was on the way. She told me the most wonderful things, how my children were going to be successful, that I should get into travel and write and go back to school, and then she said I'd have a divorce in 2 years. Well, that surely let the wind right out of my sails. If somebody tells me to do something, I always say, like hell I will. 2 years later, I could have got that divorce. He was just itching to go all set to have an affair with my best friend. I wonder if I'd have known that without the Star Lady. Anyway, I was too scared, so I went to my best friend and pointed out the signs. That's how affairs are, you know, just sneak right up on you. There's warning signs always. It don't just happen, like they say, but most fellers don't pay attention in time. Fellers to me is people, boys or girls. And so because she was my friend, she didn't come around anymore, and he couldn't think of how to get together with her. She quick got herself all mixed up with a desert news writer. So he stayed in his room when he was home and or sober, nigh on to the whole winter, straight through Christmas, drunk as one of them fancy lords. Only he wasn't fancy, just drunk. Little boys don't understand. I didn't either. Well, I fooled the Star Lady when what I really did was fool me. About 85, my sister called right up here on this phone, and she says, I've found a new Star Lady, and this one is a psychic. I didn't know what a psychic was, so I tried to look it up in my fancy dictionary. The thing about looking up words, you damn nigh have to know how to spell them before you can look them up. I came out with physics first and hoped that wasn't right. I sure would like to be a lady like my sister and talk proper. You'd have got a kick out of listening to me waltzing over the phone trying her to get her to spell psychic so I could look it up. Anyway, this one was one and purely wonderful. Said my sun and rising sign was the same. That means I was here before. Says I've been here lots of times. When I say I've made so many mistakes this time I gotta come again, folks don't hardly think that's Christian. Says I was a mean, ferocious son of a bitch, probably one of them that hollered off with their heads. A man, no less. Says this life is to show me the softer side of humanity. Now that's a crock of crap if I ever heard it. I'm as tough as old Lady Hunt, and she was tough. Chewed tobacco, she could nail a grasshopper right in the eye further than I can throw with my good arm. Anyway, this star lady said my Venus is in Sagittarius. That sounds nasty, don't it? Said I could handle three affairs at a time and I'd have three husbands. Well, I ain't never had no affair and only one husband, and just look at what I've got to look forward to. She thought I ought to get to this man psychic. He's got his doctorate in psy. Well, you know, he's one of them head people, so off I went. Oh, he had the nicest, softest voice. Said I was close to Jesus, said much closer than most. Said he could see Jesus standing beside behind me. Said I was bathed in his aura. Now that sounded nasty to me too, but then I felt a great weight lifted from my shoulders when he said, Jesus, I give her back to you. You see, I've always been, well, blind in one eye and don't see good out of the other, and when I was 16, I decided to get married. Of course, haven't got religion when that Bible thumper came to town that winter. And when my folks went ape, somehow ape crap doesn't have quite the same sound, does it? Well, anyway, when they went plumb crazy right out of their minds crying and carrying on, I went down to the spring and I prayed. Oh, Lord, if I shouldn't be getting married, give me a sign. No bells rang. No voice came out of the clouds. No trumpet sounded. No choir of angels. But as God is my witness, I knew I shouldn't be getting married. I didn't anyway. I gave up praying. If he ain't going to mind, no sense taking up his time. And Mama died. Well, when the star man called Jesus in that way, you can't imagine my relief. And I threw my arms around Jesus, and I've been praying ever since. And when I talk to him about every little thing, I say, I'll pray over it. And I do. I'm that same little girl that just talked all the time. I just know Jesus winks at my daddy, and they both recall how my daddy used to say, let's listen to quiet for a while. Well, things got bad again. You know that very first star lady. She told me your horoscope is where all the stars was when you were born. It makes a road map of your life. Shows you where all the twists and turns and potholes is, and the pretty places too, and then you get to choose. Now that you know where all the potholes is, you can go around, pull over, or hit the suckers head on. Well, I sure as hell have been hitting every one of them lately, and the wheels of my life were bent near clear off. So I panicked and went back to formal church. Took up going to meeting three times a week and praying, Lord, help me persevere. I should have been praying, thy will be done, and so should you. Things went from bad to worse. Flew right out to California on the aeroplane to another star man, and I can tell you, California star fellers ain't cheap. Well, he said, there was a big bang coming, and someone from my past would come riding in, and we could make fire with no wood, whatever that means, and wherever he is, I wish to hell he'd show up. But anyway, the big bang came and went, and when some star feller tells you about a big bang, you just say, move them stars over, I ain't having one. Well, now my moon's in Virgo, and the star lady says I'm going to be real hard on myself for a couple of years, but there's always hope. Says I flunked recess, and I think play is a four-letter word, and I better damn well pay attention. I can work myself to death, and I'm working on it. I hate surprises, so I got my funeral planned. Garth Brooks is going to sing Ghost Riders in the Sky, and Michael Bolton, How Can We Be Lovers If We Can't Be Friends? And my friend Bill Holm from Minneota, Minnesota, plays the piano just like my mama. Will close with What a Friend I Have in Jesus played in polka time. Oh, it will be splendid. And then I'm not being buried in the ground for some graduate student to examine my bones and piloso pies over my demise. I ain't wild about fire, but I don't see no other way. And then I'm having them ashes flung. And one of my proper friends said, titter, titter. You know that's how you laugh proper. Titter, titter, you mean scatter, don't you? Scatter your ashes? No, damn it, I mean flung. When I'm through here, I've made such a mess this time, I won't be gone long. I'll be back in no time, so I'm flinging out of here. I need a nap.
Thank you. That wasn't fair. she didn't know that we were going to insist that she do that. But I wanted that shared. And now I'm going to fling out of here. Let's have some cake, and if we want, we'll have some more meeting. I'd like to give Ron a little bit longer to possibly call. So let's just have a break. Thank you.
Well, we've had a nice break and some carrot cake. And we can reconvene for a few minutes, and if the commander will rejoin us. Are you here, Commander?
The commander's always here. I don't think
I'm any racket, but...
Thank you. Got it.
Okay, John.
Thank you.
Let's put your left on there.
That's right.
I see Penny must have got cold.
She did.
I think we won't stay much longer. I'm not big enough not to have a little family gathering when we have an opportunity. And our other friends are here and come a long way to share. I'm happy to visit if there are any questions that we can talk about, or if anybody would like to have the floor for any reason, this is a time. But I believe that we should call this to a close pretty soon so that there is some evening. I know that these ones don't get an opportunity to have any family under any circumstances very often, not even their own children. Daylene is right here, that's Diane and Jack and the two babies, and still they grow right up and Grandma and Grandpa really don't get to grandparent. In some ways that's good. In other ways it is shocking to see your life going. That part of the human experience just going, oozing away. And then on the weekends, these young families need to be with their own families and off doing things with them that make for memories and stability for the future and unify families. So it's a little hard, and yet it's something we have to get through. It's a chaotic time, and it's not going to get better. In the cities, the chaos is going to just develop into horrendous outbreaks. You can see it being staged every day. Don't look at what's in the news. Look what is between the lines of that news. It doesn't mean that it can't be done. And the next logical question is, what is it that can be done? What are we talking about? After a while, you lose absolute sight of what in the world we're even talking about. I am only interested in one thing. My service unto God. My commitment as a servant of and a commander for the hosts of God. You are my compatriots. There's some very, very old souls being born into these very, very new little bodies. They're very special. Very special. And you are the only ones that will make it worthy of their time to have come back to make sure that last leg of your own journey is accomplished. You have had the testing up to now because you don't have the privilege of, quote, breaking and falling apart. Dorma once said, when she was Doris and hell had broken loose. She said, why can't I just go crazy? Why cannot I just go mad? And let somebody else tend these problems. And she had five little ones. And only you mothers with five or six or seven or eight children know what I'm talking about. You know, no dryer to dry your clothes even. You hang up diapers for three babies. And then you try to hold down a full-time job to make ends meet while you're trying to combine families, and now you've got nine of them trying to rear them, trying to get them out of the cities, and still you have trouble. Mm-hmm. And you can't even serve your own mission until those children have grown to the point where they can start their own existence. And yet they have to do this too. They're not just your testing. They chose to come by routing through you for whatever lessons they must undergo so that they can fulfill their own mission. And you can't judge them for that. If their need is to be away from you for a while, release them, let them go. You do not own them. And neither do you accept their blame. Don't accept it. That makes them weak. They must face responsibility. There are none being birthed with soul through any of you that haven't a magnificent mission, and they're going to have to assume responsibility for themselves. And it's hard. It's hard as parents to both insist on that and to not blame selves if it seems to be going wrong. And always you do the best you can at any given situation, and that is all. And if that is unacceptable in the apology department, my dear, I love you absolutely without equivocation. But I will not accept this burden that you cast on me for your own shortcomings. I did the best I could with what I had at the time I did it. And that's enough. Forgive first of all yourself and let those things go. And they better start working on forgiveness of themselves, because you cannot do that for them. And time spent with these children is the most valued time of all their experience. And when that is offered, they will always come home. But you make them come home with responsibility. And if it need be that you don't allow them to come home, do it. Do it. Do not be so weak that you do not require that, as far as you are concerned, you will love them, help them, work with them, for them, anything that you can do. But you will not accept their burden or their responsibility unto themselves. And if you get nothing else, you must get that. Because that's what I am faced with every moment of every bit of time spent integrated within your working system. I want so badly to fix it. And yes, I know that I can. But I can only fix it for me. I can be there. I can help you. I cannot do it for you.